The Struggle for Independence in South Asia by Trevor Goetz. Secondary source. South Asia was perhaps the greatest colony of them all. Not only did its massive population outweigh that of Britain itself by a factor of 6 to 1 at the beginning of the 20th century, the disparity would only grow, but its economic production drove much of the economy of the British Empire. But despite this importance, the British Imperial Administration of India and the surrounding territories was often carried out with little consideration of local opinions and needs. In 1885, a movement emerged among Western-educated South Asians to influence the government. Known as the Congress Party, this group called for significant governing reforms, but was often ignored. Despite their discontent, Congress Party leaders joined other South Asians to support the British effort in the First World War. However, the conflict was devastating. Germany and Austro-Hungary had been important trading partners for British India, and the loss of those markets caused a recession that especially affected poor workers. Many were unable to afford food, and a famine broke out. Moreover, although Indian troops were vital to shoring up the Allies in France, the end of the war brought not reforms but harsher measures to repress any dissent in the colony. The end of the war also brought to the fore a new leader of the Indian nationalist movement, Mohandas K. Gandhi. Gandhi believed that the First World War showed that European rule was corrupt and called on South Asians to resist through nonviolent boycotts and protests. This satyagraha, or nonviolent resistance, campaign gained massive support through 1919, but also provoked British anger, including the forbiddance of public gatherings. On April 1919, a British general learned that a protest had gathered in the city of Amritsar. He encircled the protesters and opened fire, leaving 400 civilians dead and 1,200 wounded. This Amritsar massacre and subsequent official defense of the act helped to drive many previously loyal South Asians into active opposition to British rule. Gandhi moved ahead with the Satyagraha campaign despite the massacre, and its success quickly raised him to the position of leader of the Congress Party and the nationalist movement. Most importantly, Gandhi used this moment to expand the party from representing clerks and princes into reaching the working and peasant classes. He traveled around the country, winning support from leaders of the many vast regions of India, and also recruiting from the many castes and classes of the rural and urban areas. Their chief tool in the fight for independence was boycott. Gandhi believed they could bring down the British government by refusing to put money in British hands. He pushed, therefore, for communities to build their own schools and produce their own daily goods. Two important products stand out in this regard. The first is that Gandhi's followers produced their own cloth, or homespun, rather than buying cloth produced in British factories. This was in part recognition that before British rule, India had been the world's largest producer of cloth. Second, in response to high taxes on salt, Gandhi led a massive march to the ocean in 1930 to produce his own salt using traditional means. The British rapidly arrested anyone making their own salt, but this merely produced anger and further resistance. By this time, the Great Depression was in full effect around the world, and India was suffering dramatically. Huge numbers of poor peasants, unable to sell their goods in a broken market, began to migrate to cities. In this context, Gandhi undertook a hunger strike to draw attention to the plight of the poor. By championing the poor, including the very lowest castes, Gandhi was creating a unified nationalist movement. Yet in one respect, at least, the Congress Party faced major opposition. In the 1930s, the Muslim League, formerly in alliance with the Congress Party, began to go its own way. Its leader, Muhammad Ali Jinnah, believed that a Hindu-majority independent India would not allow for equal power for the Muslim majority of the state. In the context of this unrest, the Second World War had an enormous impact on India. The Muslim League immediately called for Muslims to support the British war effort, but at the same time demanded a separate Muslim state in the north be called Pakistan. Some Congress Party leaders, on the other hand, saw the war as an opportunity to achieve independence, and a few actively supported the Japanese and hoped for an invasion of India. Gandhi, however, called for a non-violent, quiet India campaign beginning in 1943, but the war gave the administration the justification to arrest thousands of protesters, even as prices once again soared and famine broke out in Northeast India. But the end of the war brought a change of government in Britain, and the administration of the new Prime Minister, Clement Attlee, as well as the British in public opinion, was sympathetic to Indian independence. The years of non-violent mass protests had paid off. A huge problem still loomed, however. While the Congress Party was the clear nationalist party across India, the Muslim League had massive support from Muslims. Angry that the Congress Party seemed to be dominating negotiations with the British, the leaders of the League called for a day of direct action in the city of Bombay on July 27, 1946. The result was open warfare that left thousands dead and tens of thousands homeless. The violence between Muslims and Hindus quickly spread, and in search of a resolution, British negotiators agreed to hand over power to two governments rather than one, a Hindu-majority India and a Muslim-majority Pakistan. This partition of South Asia occurred on August 15, 1947. In the aftermath, millions of people crossed the border between the new states, one of the world's great refugee crises of the 20th century. The two states quickly became rivals, and the regions of Kashmir and Punjab on the border of the two states remain contested today. But British rule in South Asia was at an end, and two huge new anti-colonial powers had emerged.